RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Stormy weather, Val.
Oh, no, not again.
Oh, yeah, all week.
Ugh, and
it's been
beans.
Great.
It's great. Rain and just rain.
I actually see the sun starting to peek out right now. I think we're going to have a good weekend over here, but it's been a great week for working inside because I love it when it's rainy and dark and windy.
Well, let me tell you, I have made strict instructions to everyone not to do lawns on Friday. And I'll just...
That's a weed whacker.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It certainly is. So, not quite sure what you want to do in terms of ignoring that, but we might have no choice.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's fine.
I'm excited today, Frank.
What has happened?
Oh, my goodness. So today is Friday, and later on this afternoon, I'm going to meet with some amazing ladies from a group called Engage the Right. They saw what the left was doing with, like, the Indivisibles, which is a group that not many people have heard of, but is very shady, and they're funded by major money on the left. And they come in, and they basically will register as Republicans for primaries and, like, just vote in primaries not the way that Republicans would vote and just... overall raise hell and chaos. They were one of the groups behind the wildly unsuccessful impeach Trump protests across the country this past week. And these ladies are all from South Carolina, and they came in and they started their own group called Engage the Right, and they're sponsoring with me and Scott Pressler this event tomorrow down at the beach. And we are going to do, I'm going to do a little presentation about investigative journalism and why it's important, and there, and Scott Pressler is going to do voter registration training, activism training. And they're going to do their bit with what they're doing with Engage the Right. And so I'm meeting with them today after the show. It's my sister's birthday.
Happy birthday, Sister Beans.
Sister Beans' birthday is today, which is really great. We always celebrate her birthday because of all she's been through. And then tomorrow, after the event, I'm going to come home. And Sunday, I'm on vacation, baby.
For how long?
10 days.
Wow. We're still going to be doing the show for 10 days?
Absolutely.
So that's not vacation then?
Well, I mean, it is because I'm going to force my, well, I don't know. I'm going to try to force myself to put the phone down and spend days and days at the pool with the kids and the husband. So we're going to do the show in the mornings, and then I'm going to go do the rest of my day.
That's awesome either way. And what was the other thing you said? You know, Scott Pressler, we rubbed shoulders a couple of times at Walkaway, but we never spoke.
Oh, he's so – let me just – okay, so he's on vacation. And he went on vacation like up in far away from here. But he's like, I know you live in South Carolina. You want to get together and do an event. And I said, absolutely. This man is, he's on vacation right now. I want to play a quick clip for you. Okay.
Okay.
Cause he's amazing. Hold on.
Asking yourself.
Okay. Here we go. Listen to this.
Hey, everybody. This is Scott Pressler. It's after 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm here in North Carolina on vacation, sitting in the hot tub, registering new Republican voters. Now, you may be asking yourself, Scott, how are you registering new voters while sitting in a hot tub on vacation? Well, I keep my direct messages open so anyone in the entire world can message me. And I've had people all over the country who are saying, Scott, I've never registered to vote. I don't know how to vote.
You get the idea.
Yeah.
The man is a machine. He does not stop. As a matter of fact, God bless him, he got into a car accident the first day he was on vacation that totaled his car. He's got a rental car and he's like, no, it must go on.
Yeah, I wish I was able to walk away, especially at the hotel afterwards. Scott and Terrence Williams,
yep.
Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
They were both there, but they just seemed so... They seem like they're just doing their own thing. I didn't want to bother them.
Yeah.
But they were there.
I'm like that too. I don't like to go up to people. I really don't.
I don't. Because I It's so hard. Unless I have something very specific I have wanted to say that can come off natural, I feel like everything comes off as like a fangirly kind of a thing. And yeah, that's the last thing that I am. And I know that that's the last thing people want to hang out with. So I always just hold my tongue until I really have something I can lead with.
I get it. I'm the same way. But Scott is like, he's like my hero. I mean, in terms of activism, the man he's just a machine. I mean, I can't even explain it into words. I don't think people really understand how, like, if he's not out registering voters and teaching people how to register voters, he's on a street corner with a bullhorn talking about why Donald Trump is a good choice for 2020, why the Democrats are a bad choice. It's just, he's just amazing. He really is.
Yes. Well, either way, please send my hello along to him.
Absolutely. I will. We have a lot to talk about today, but it's not going to be so serious as it was Wednesday.
It's Friday.
Yeah. It's Friday. So you, I want to talk about NXIVM for a minute.
Okay.
Now, I'll be straight up honest. I have not dove into all the documents and everything with the case the way I would typically do. You know where I've read, which I can be like half and half on? Big League Politics has done a really good job with the case.
Yep. That I actually used, I worked off of three links last night to color in some of where we are with the whole NXIVM thing, and two of them were from Big League Politics.
So I want this to like kind of shift to you, because I can't speak to this as well as you can. And you've actually interviewed a man who's been showing up more and more on like my Twitter feed lately. Ben Zmeckis, I think his last name is.
Shemkis.
Sorry.
I believe it's Shemkis. Yeah. Ben Shemkis.
So you interviewed him. Tell everyone who he is.
Well, Ben popped up on the internet in 2018, I think like around April 2018. And he told this very intriguing story about how when he was in college, I forget when it was, but it was like maybe about 10 or 11 years prior to that, that he had been invited, well, he's pretty much as like a plus one to a party that his girlfriend at the time and her girlfriend were invited to go. Like, they were just pretty much his girlfriend was approached by very well-dressed blonde, I guess peers at their college library or something like that, and asked to come to this party, this gathering somewhere. I believe it was in New Haven, Connecticut, in the Yale area, which of course is always has, you know, sense. It's a weird kind of area, and there's a lot of stuff going on in Connecticut. We know all about the certain types of handlers that have been given a lot of attention these days. A lot of them are in the Fairfield, Connecticut area, Greenwich, Connecticut area, not too far from me, Tracy. Yale, New Haven is one hour from me.
Yeah, people need to understand, like, the tri-state area is Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey. And yes, they're very close to one another.
And the tri-state area is almost like an evil energy vortex.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff going on over here, especially the Long Island, Montauk. I mean, we are talking about portals
to
the great beyond. Well, either way.
What about, I grew up on Long Island. What about the Amityville Horror House? There's all kinds of crazy.
Oh, Mount yeah.
Misery. Yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff on Long Island.
Oh, yeah. No, it's something else. And when Ben came on, I asked people, I think he was on with me in April. So if you go to, quite frankly, the channel and you go into the videos and you go through full episodes, you can go back to the month of April. You'll see the dates there, and it'll see, I think it's entitled A Night with NXIVM.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. And you can just judge for yourself. But he told a story about how he gets there, and it's very odd. And what triggered his memory on all this stuff is that when they got to this gathering with his girlfriend at the time and his girlfriend's friend, what was on the television waiting for some of the, you know, the hosts to arrive and more of the party to arrive was episodes of Smallville. And it was on because, of course, who's showing up but Allison Mack. Allison Mack was there, and I guess they're just playing Smallville. I guess it was just get everybody pumped for her arrival. I don't know what it is, but he goes into this story about how Allison Mack shows up. There's a number of people who show up that he remembers, including the Podestas, including who else? Oh, Eric Schneiderman. He goes into some the reason why people get very suspicious of him, though, is that even though he's taken a lie detector test, Bombard's body language has analyzed him, said he, you know, pretty much. And a lot of people take her word as and her analysis as very, very upstanding. So people are wondering whether or not he's just hallucinating or if he is psychotic or something, because as far as belief in what he's saying, as far as him saying telling the truth, everything seems to be checking out. But every time he retells a story, there's one more A-lister that added. Was at the party.
Yeah, I know.
So that's the thing that gets me. But as far as the initial telling of his story, first of all, you can find that on the internet as well because he went public with it. It's really intriguing because he talks about how his girlfriend and her friend were eventually taken away, they were told that this was a recruiting, it pretty much was a recruiting party, but they were taken away and to another room where it was girls only. They said, okay, this is the girls only event. And Wiener was there. Anthony Wiener was there. Yeah. Uma Abedin was there, he says. And that is when all the girls were taken away and they were pretty much brought into another room where they were shown what he said his girlfriend had told him was to be some sort of a snuff film that she thought was fake. But either way, with whether she thought it was fake or not, but they're being shown this stuff. They're being talked about women's empowerment in their own little special way, as we know what women's empowerment means to the NXIVM crew now. And she said, well, either way, it wasn't for her. And she just felt weird and she wanted to get the hell out of there. And the whole night story is full of things like this, things that when you look at what has come out since then and what was coming out around the time where when you fit his testimony into the timeline of events of public disclosure, it actually checks out because some of the things he was saying were happening days before news broke about Eric Schneiderman and everybody else and whatnot. And then you have all this stuff that we know now about the branding, about Allison Mack's involvement, about the psychological aspect of the torture that was going on there with exposing these cult members or these abductees in many cases, because we know that the Mexican border and child trafficking from Mexico, illegal immigrant children, are now a huge part of this.
And yeah, that's one of like the most under, like, you know, the media hasn't reported on this really at all. I mean, there's some really messed up crap in this trial.
Oh, yeah. NXIVM was operating. And this is some of the information that popped up. I have some of my notes here from last night's show. And this popped up from this one Big League Politics article whose headline is NXIVM trial. Jurors see Rainiers. That's Keith Rainiers, who was there. He says, Ben Shemkis says, Keith Rainiers' child porn as Mexico trafficking operation gets exposed. And not only, as we know, was there the branding, was there the sex slavery and everything else, but there was also like Street Fighter level types of brainwashing going on where people were made to watch really horrific, violent, explicit images and media to take them into just a, you know, to almost like split their personalities. At Keith Rainier, when he was talking about the branding, what they were going to do, they have testimony and audio now of Rainier talking to Allison Mack about how the positioning of these bodies should be in when they get branded, so it looks more sacrificial. So there's a satanic aspect to all this stuff. And of course, we know that there is amazing, amazing and shocking amounts of financial lifelines from NXIVM to the Clinton campaign, to the Bronfmans, to all these huge players. And we know that they had an elite membership of over 15,000 people. Listen to this one thing over here. So in this Big League Politics article over here, we learned that Nexium was operating in 11 daycares.
Yep.
In Albany, New York City, Los Angeles, London, Madrid, Guatemala City, Mexico City, and three other Mexican cities, including Miami.
And this just as actually the federal government comes out and says that they know now that trafficking, the number one place for trafficking and the problems come from foster care homes. So it's all related. I just wanted to throw that out there. Some more is coming out. Keep going.
Yeah, no. There's also more here in this one particular article. They even talk about the celebrity aspect of it all, how celebrities like celebrity actresses like Penelope Cruz paid $120,000 to enroll her daughter in Nexium school. Raquel Pereira, the wife of Grammy winner Alejandro Sanz, was director of the Miami location. And then as far as the Nexium trial, we know that jurors have seen this child porn. And they're seeing that the links between this very well funded, very shadowy, very well protected, especially in New York. I mean, Eric Schneiderman was given an ouster because of the testimony of his girlfriend about his very abusive sexual habits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, calling her brown slave over and over again, and how they couldn't get into bed without him getting to the point of abuse or something that was really rough or anything like that. And then you think about the people he usually laid cover for as attorney general and how Nexium never really ever had to feel the heat of anything, including the press.
They would pay them off.
Yeah.
There's Frank, what's his name?
Parlato,
who's done, he used to be inside and left, from what I understand. And he's done a lot of really good, stuff on this for years now. And he detailed out, and this is in one of the Big League Politics articles, that how they would launder the money to be able to pay off and make sure that nobody was able to either sue them, take them to court, report them to the police or anything. And, we just hope that it doesn't stop with him, Frank.
Oh, no, I hope not either, because, what we're also seeing in this whole thing is that, and as Big League Politics reported, that evidence has been showing that the Nexium sex cult, this is an excerpt right out of one of their articles, illegally raised money for Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign.
Yep.
And how it counted Clinton friend Richard Mays and Kirsten Gillibrand's stepmother as active members and Gillibrand's father as an employee.
Well, Gillibrand's stepmother is actually her father's cousin.
Well, that's cute.
Yeah. Like, her stepmother is her father's cousin. So her father married his cousin.
I brought this up last night as well. This is, and I wanted to see if you have any memory on this and where else it goes. But I brought up a TimesUnion.com article from September 2015. All right, and this was where we were saying this is a piece by Brendan J. Lyons, and the headline is "Legal Papers: Nexium Officials Probed the Finances of Six Federal Judges, Senator Schumer, and Others."
Yep.
So we learned about this back in 2015, how Nexium was, ordered financial probes of, at the direction of Keith Raniere into federal judges and currently serving members of our Congress.
They wanted to buy them off. They wanted to buy them off and blackmail them. And I just want to say something. It is June 21st, 2019. What was the date of that article?
This one, the one I just brought up, is September 19th, 2015.
Okay. And how do they know that stuff in that article?
I'll read the first two paragraphs. A former close confidant of Keith Raniere, founder of Nexium Corporation, claims top officials in the secretive organization used a Canadian investigative firm or other means to sift the financial records of six federal judges and U.S. Senator Charles E. Schumer, Democrat from New York, according to court records. The former Nexium insider Kristen M. Keefe, that's K-E-E-F-F-E, said that Seagram's heiress Claire W. Bronfman, who oversees Nexium's operations, ordered the financial probes at the direction of Raniere, 55 years old. The six judges whose financial records Keefe alleged alleges were analyzed have all presided over in, presided over cases involving Nexium or its perceived adversaries and critics.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't that they were investigating back then. These were when the whistleblowers were getting enough courage to come out and actually say something.
It says this might give you a little bit more. It says the allegations by Keefe are outlined in emails attributed to her that were filed recently in Albany County Court in a case that involves Barbara J. Bushey, a financial advisor and former Nexium executive board member charged with hacking into the corporation's computer system. Bushey has pled not guilty and is fighting the computer trespass charge, which her attorneys said is baseless.
Okay, so there is an investigation going on all the way back in 2015. But they're going after the lower level-ish people. Very interesting. I'm going to need to look into this more. Listen, here's the straight up truth, okay? Honestly, I spent basically a good year of my life every single day researching human trafficking, pedophilia, all these lines and who's involved in the money and the orphanages and the, you know, all of the dark nonsense, horrible stuff. And I just had to stop. I had to take a break. Couldn't keep doing it. It changed me forever. Like I can't, it's hard to explain. So I put it on the side and I knew there were a ton of really good people doing the work. And like Corey does this a lot. And there was B before she disappeared. I don't know where she went. And there were a lot of people doing it. So I have to get into this case. I have to do it.
Yes, you do. And you know, I have Jeffrey Peterson coming on the show on Tuesday, and that should be really interesting. He has put together a couple of really big threads about Mexico, Nexium.
Jeffrey Peterson. He's a good person to talk to because he used to be a very, very, very high level, huge, massive donor.
Yeah, and he's the one that coined the term Arizona Mafia?
I believe so, yes.
So, yep. I mean, this is going to all be put into the most easily digestible nutshell possible next week on my show. So, I if you start kicking up ratcheting up your research into this, Tracy, I would definitely take a listen to that night. And if you have any questions that you want me to slip into the format, just send it to me.
Yeah, I will. Jeffrey has reached out to me and I've talked to him a couple times, not about anything in regards to this. And I just have been watching from afar. And so I will definitely do that. Maybe I can read the whole Nexium thing on the way down to vacation.
It's not much of a vacation if you're reading about child trafficking, but, you know,
you got to put yourself in a different place. That's what you got to do. You got to just box yourself in out. And it takes a lot of like deep breathing. And I've learned to kind of try to put myself not in my body when I'm reading. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I allow, it sounds crazy, but if I allow myself to process internally as a human being the information that I'm reading, I self-combust. So I need to pretend that I'm not reading what I am and I'm just reading. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard. Anyway, well, I know that you've been following it, so thanks for that update for us. Well, he's guilty on all counts. I mean, he's guilty.
Indeed, he is.
But now, does it stop now? Do they say, oh, we got him. Okay. Time to clean up and go home. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing. It's ridiculous. It's almost like the opposite. It's almost like the exact opposite of the Russia thing. And what I mean is with obstruction in particular, to say that, oh, well, we think Donald Trump may have obstructed. We don't know, but it seems like he's like, it seems like there's just a lot of obstruction going on there. Well, that should be pretty easy to prove, because then you would have people involved. There would be somebody out there. There'd be somebody involved in this obstruction. How it's not all just one person.
Isn't it crazy, though, too?
Yeah, and it's very, you know, just with Keith Raniere, though, to say that this guy is guilty on all charges and then the entire world just coalesced around Keith Raniere. He was the center of this solar system.
Exactly.
Come on. A huge network, financially, human capital, a huge network of people have to make a person like Keith Raniere possible.
You're right, and there's another one of these sorts of things floating around that's starting to get attention now called Sanctum.
What's that?
It's another cult-like organization, and there's a bunch of whistleblowers filing lawsuits against Scientology right now as well. Got to tell you, during that year period that I was talking about earlier, I went to WikiLeaks and read almost all of the documents about Scientology, because they have all of these internal documents from Scientology, which is like unheard of because they shield their information so carefully. It is terrifying what they do, especially to children.
You ever see any of Leah Remini's?
I have. I have.
Yeah, no, any of the testimony of people that break away from that crap is...
What you got to think about is Tom Cruise. That's the first thing that comes to my head.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll keep my eye on this. I gotta do it.
They're all right there in Times Square. This Church of Scientology is right in Midtown.
Yeah.
If you're walking through the heart of Midtown, it's a good chance that you're going to be given a pamphlet on Scientology.
You know what's crazy? And I've spent a lot of time with her, and I really like her as a person. It's really weird. I had a hard time with Joy because a lot of people were giving her, you know, there was a lot of stuff that came out about her being a Scientologist and stuff. And I will tell you that because she's always at the walkaway events, and I've spent a good amount of time with her, and she's always been really awesome, like really awesome, really nice, easy to work with, funny, gracious. I don't know. Just throwing that out there.
Funny and gracious.
She really has been. She's been. I've never had any problem with her. So.
Oh, well.
Well, let's move on to something equally as frustrating, but a little bit lighter, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't think that where we are with the NXIVM thing is necessarily frustrating. I think it'll be frustrating if a year goes by and it began and ended with Keith Raniere, because I'll tell you, as far as the media goes, they have laid down tremendous amounts of cover fire and suppression.
Yeah, they haven't said anything. I mean, there's nothing out there. Like,
and when they do, the language is very, very soft.
Yeah, they don't have any. I mean, come on. They just basically. I don't even have words. I can't believe they're not covering this as though it's the biggest bombshell ever to hit New York. Isn't it in New York court they're being tried?
I think Eastern District.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yep.
Because it's Albany based, this the corporation.
Yeah. Yeah. There's two more big stories that I want to get through today. And I'm frustrated because I just have a feeling it's going to stop there. But I hope I'm proven wrong. I really do. You know, a good way to find that actually would be to take a look at the people mentioned and then see if I can find anything on Pacer in regards to those other people. That might be a good way to do it. Mm-hmm. See if it's still ongoing. So yesterday the Epoch Times came out, Frank, and started sharing a series of tweets. And if you remember, this is not like usually what we talk about on the show, but if you remember a couple weeks ago, there were people going after Brian Cates, going to the Epoch Times, trying to get him fired, and all kinds of other weirdness. And yesterday, the Epoch Times comes out with a tweet. They say, last week, the Epoch Times, now the Epoch Times is an outlet that has done, probably out of all of them, outside of maybe the Federalist, has done the most honest and straightforward reporting of the news that there is. And because of that, they have gained in popularity. They have expanded. They've grown. They're well regarded everywhere. Until I started reading them about a year and a half ago, I guess. And then Brian started writing for them. And then Jeff was writing for them. And I know these people personally, you know? Mm-hmm. So I know what their motivations are and what makes them tick and why they're doing what they're doing. And I know that the Epoch Times appreciates that as well. And they've had really amazing work. So they come out and they say, the Epoch Times was contacted by two NBC reporters who posed a series of highly inappropriate questions about the religious beliefs of our staff. They questioned the religious beliefs of some of our staff members, sought to discredit their beliefs, attacked our journalism based on personal opinion rather than objective analysis, and even sought out information on the personal lives of our staff. Unfortunately, the bane of journalism today is the all too common practice of writing news to conform to a pre-existing narrative or agenda. And the best journalism of the past had the truth as its standard, not political advantage. NBC's questions seek to dig out what they assume is our agenda by asking about our coverage of President Donald Trump and our relationship with the spiritual practice of Falun Gong. It certainly does appear that NBC News has an agenda with respect to covering the Trump presidency, and they go into hit NBC News on their bias. The plain truth is that because of our coverage of Trump differs from NBC, two reporters have sought to hunt for an agenda that would discredit us. Ex-staff members have been contacting us to let us know that NBC was asking about their work here. They also asked about whether or not what the living situations of some of the reporters, if they shared apartments.
What the hell's that? What?
Yeah.
With each other, or if they have roommates?
Yeah, if they were sharing apartments with each other. And what their religious beliefs were.
All right. That, you know.
Listen, I'm just going to go back a year or so. It's probably about maybe less. And I'm not even going to share it because it was all nonsense. But my experience with NBC News, they literally dedicated almost 1,000 words to impugning my character, Frank. Do you remember that?
I believe so. I think so. You were included with a whole bunch of other people, right?
Yeah, they started off with me, and they spent, I swear, it was almost 1,000 words of real estate on the front page of NBC to try and drag up, like, the fact that I claimed bankruptcy over 10 years ago as some reason why I'm shady financially. And it was just nonsense. And, like, in the back of my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, I claimed bankruptcy during your savior Obama's administration.
Yeah. Well, you man. Oh, you didn't survive the recession, loser. Got you now.
I know. Oh my gosh, it was hard. Anyway, but long story short is they're going after, not that like I'm trying to toot my own horn, but they're going after not only regular people, but competing ideas. And for them to attack the Epoch Times shows a desperation, the likes of which I've never seen before. It's really sad. And I made a couple tweets about this. And I also retweeted some folks from The Federalist because they were supporting the Epoch Times as well. And I said, this is what I mean when I say teamwork and teammates, not competition, because there's no other way for us to, you know, we need to team together with the good people we know are doing good work with integrity and support them. I mean, I don't work for the Epoch Times, and I told everybody, go out there and get yourself a subscription to this damn paper.
They are in print.
Yes, they are.
They are, because I know my buddy Mike, his father has been a subscriber for a while. And that's actually how I first knew about them. And then all of a sudden I said, you know what, I'm going to see if they have an internet presence. And I found them on Twitter. And then all of a sudden, like you said before, I started seeing these names that I knew from Twitter starting to actually be brought onto the staff. And then they really just hit a grand slam by investing in the Declassified series with Gina Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah.
Grand slam, because she has brought so, yeah, she had over 100,000 subscribers now.
Yeah, she's got hundreds of thousands of views on those videos.
And she brings all of those articles to life, like Jeff and Brian's articles. It's just great. You know, you can sit there and you can read their work, or you can go and listen to Gina, color it all in for you. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's great. So there's that. So everybody support the Epoch Times. The article from NBC hasn't even come out yet. I don't even know what it says. But it doesn't matter. It's just absolutely sick.
Talk about the free press.
Yeah.
These are the people who say that the press is under attack. And meanwhile, they're attacking the press that's not talking the way they do. It's ridiculous. This is like it's like that meme of the person riding the bike. Putting a stick in their own spokes, and when they fall over, they blame it on somebody else.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I'm picturing that in my head.
Yeah.
It's really, it, you know, and you know, Brian had a masterful thread about it too. And so did Jeff. Jeff did a little ditty. just saying. It's crazy. Huge news in the case of Eddie Gallagher. I don't even know what to say about this. It's like it couldn't be written any better. So I told the story of Eddie Gallagher a few times on the show, so I'm not going to relitigate it, but he was the SEAL Team 7, highly decorated war hero who was brought back here after his tours of duty, retired, and then was charged with murder in a war crime for killing a terrorist who had survived a bomb strike, and the rest of the terrorists in the building died, and he lived, and he went out and he was with the Iraqis for a while, and then he was put, the Americans took control of him, and Eddie Gallagher was on tape actually trying to save the guy's life because he was a medic, not because, as his brother says often, not because we wanted to save his life because he's a good person, but because we wanted to extract more intelligence from him, right? Mm-hmm. So apparently I had told you how there were claims that the government, when they charged him with murder and then went after him, had tried to get his fellow SEALs and fellow soldiers to spin lie about what happened. And then the attorneys found out, his defense attorneys found out that this had happened and was trying to get them to flip their stories back to what actually happened, but couldn't do it because the guys were afraid of being charged with perjury for changing their stories in the first place. So it was just, and then the prosecution's attorneys hacked into the defense attorney's emails, and there was a lie detector results withheld. The whole case was just a travesty. They threw out the other attorneys. They got, you know, they forced them to step down. And then there was thoughts that they were going to dismiss the case. Well, they didn't dismiss the case, and they were in trial. And Bernie Kerik, who's been following the case very closely, and I also have a friend who's been following it really closely, says, yesterday, they had a fellow soldier, a medic named Navy SEAL Corey Scott on the stand. He was examined by the prosecution and they asked him about what Eddie Gallagher did. And he says he saw Eddie Gallagher stab this guy in the neck. And we've talked about this ad nauseum about what he was actually doing, how Congress saw the video and said, this is absolutely abhorrent. I can't believe this guy's actually up on charges. Just, it's sick.
Well, can you give everybody a little bit, and myself, just a really thumbnail sketch, the background of what led to being the neck stabbing, why that happened to happen?
Yeah, so there's differing reports on this, and I haven't seen the video, but basically what they think it was is that he was performing a medical procedure to install a breathing tube to keep the guy alive and keep him breathing.
Okay.
Now, it's breathing tube or it's puncture to get the air out of the lungs when you have a collapsed lungs. I'm not sure which it is, but whatever action that Eddie Gallagher took was in a medical capacity, not in a violent, let me kill this guy and stab him capacity.
Okay.
That's the defense argument.
And what had happened prior to that, that he needed a tracheotomy, emergency tracheotomy or something?
Yeah.
So what had happened?
He got blown up by a bomb.
Oh, this was immediately after.
Yeah. Well, this was 6 hours later.
Okay.
So the Iraqis took him because he was alive. He was 17. They took him. They were questioning him for hours and hours and hours and then dumped him off with the Americans. He was bleeding out. He had several horrible wounds. They had to do something to his leg to stop the bleeding. He was on it. He was dying. I mean, the man was going to die. He was going to die either way. Right. What happens on the stand yesterday, though, Frank, I sent you this tweet. I couldn't believe it. Corey Scott was a medic who was working on the body with Eddie Gallagher on the terrorist. The prosecution questions him and the guy testifies that he sees Eddie Gallagher stab the guy. Then on cross-examination, he on the stand admits that he put his thumb over the hole in the breathing the breathing tube to suffocate the guy, and he's the one who killed him.
Talk about a twist.
Oh, my goodness. So he's sitting up there, and he says, no, the stabbing didn't kill him. I had put in a, you know, there was a breathing tube in. I took my thumb, I placed it over the hole, and I held it there until he died.
Did he talk about why he did that?
No, I haven't heard anything else out of there in that regard.
So is so it's not exactly like the whole idea of a war crime being committed has not left the situation. It's just shifted to another person now?
I mean, that's what they're saying. And to be honest with you, I don't really know if I even support that. I don't know the circumstances of why this gentleman, Corey Scott, decided to do what he did. And I don't know what you guys think about that. Like, do you, I mean, you know, it's a little iffy.
I'm confused. I don't know how to see it, to be honest.
And yeah. And so I don't know if they're going to put this Corey Scott now, who was brave enough to admit on the stand after still sort of half lying about what happened, that he is the one who actually killed the guy. Eddie Gallagher, this the charges should motion to dismiss. I mean, seriously, immediately from the defense, because he's on trial for a crime that somebody else just admitted to. Craziness. It is absolutely stunning that this, I mean, this case has been nothing short of, they have to make a movie about it. They have to. And I hope this, that Eddie Gallagher and his family can start to sleep easier at night, because what these people have gone through has been, I've watched these interviews with the family, and I can't tell you, I am hoping and praying that I will have an interview with them, and I'm really close to it. And I just, I really hope I get to sit down. I will even travel just to go out there and sit with them.
Yeah, I would love some context for this. Lot more than we have, I mean.
I want to sit with them for hours and just talk to them. Like, ugh.
Has he been discharged?
He retired.
Oh, he retired.
Yeah. Okay. So Eddie Gallagher, the case of Eddie Gallagher. I mean,
man, talk about the 11th hour.
Right? It was like, it's like a TV drama.
Yeah.
Wow. I just realized that Bernie Kerik follows me. Huh. Okay.
You know what I wish? I wish that there was a Twitter tool.
There is.
That what?
That lets you see your verified followers.
Really?
Yeah, there is.
I've been looking for, because I wanted to just see, because at this point, I don't know, especially when followers come in bunches, I don't look through things and I don't really do the counting or anything like that. But I do get curious from time to time as to who I have missed.
It's called Social Rank.
Really?
It's really good. I use it like once every couple of months just to see what's going on my Twitter account. It's really, really good. You can list, you can like put on all sorts of different criteria and filters. You can search by just verified. You can search by number of followers. It's a really good tool. Social, what did I say it was? Blade? Social Blade.
Social Blade? You said Social Rank.
That's what I meant. Social Rank. Yeah. Social Rank. Yep, that's it. Social Rank. You're welcome, Social Rank. There was another one I had here. So Brandon is suing the LGBT center. Did you see that?
Yeah, we were talking about that. What was it? Monday?
Yeah, but he had a press conference.
Oh, so it's like an official.
Oh, yes. And I'm going to just pull up the clip that I want to play for you guys.
And he's looking for a sum of $20
million? Yeah.
And how strong is his case, you think?
I mean, I haven't gotten to read the complaint yet because it didn't come up in Pacer until... I guess it's coming up today. But I think, I mean, honestly, like they just had, I believe it was Beto there, and they're a 501c3. So they better watch their P's and Q's and dot those I's.
I'm rooting for him.
Here, let's play his statement real quick.
In 2000,
I hope it, okay.
Rockaway LGBT town hall did go on, with hundreds in attendance and dozens of protesters outside holding signs calling us Nazis, fascists, and telling us we were not welcome. And so, this is what it means to be an LGBT person today. Though we enjoy the freedoms and liberation that we fought so hard for, my community is forever suspended in a state of perpetual victimhood and fear, cast upon them not by the Republican Party, but by their own. The greatest oppressors to the LGBT community in 2019 are the LGBT community. This is an oppression of intellectual diversity, of political individuality, of freedom of thought, language, and choice. It is a self-imposed intellectual quarantine.
It goes on. The music is too loud. But it goes on, and he's just brilliant, I swear. Because it's true. Did you see what I shared the other day on my Twitter? It was like somebody shared a picture of the flag and it had like all of the acronyms.
No.
You probably didn't, because a lot of people don't see my tweets. You wouldn't be alone.
And I got notifications for you on too.
No, you don't. You probably don't. You think you do, but they never give them to you. It's this: LGBTTQQIAAP.
Oh, I've seen it. I saw it.
It's lesbian, gay, bisexual, an individual attracted to people of their own and opposite gender. Does that mean there's only two genders, Frank?
Yeah, well, see, that's the whole thing. You think about LGBT. First of all, whenever I talk about these issues, it's annoying, but the disclaimer always goes up. Remember, everybody, there's a difference between everyday people who happen to be gay and LGBT Incorporated. This is exactly what this is. It is an industrial scale social organizing scam. It's LGBT Incorporated. Okay?
So smart.
And when you think about it, and you think about the whole LGB, you're like, B? What? Does B even have a place here anymore? And then T. It should really just be the LG, the LG community, which is ridiculous. Then you just say gay people. But it's just not that easy, because you have to start forming the little slices of the pie to create some sort of a voting block that could be formidable in an election. It's not about any of that stuff.
You know, the crazy thing about this is you get to transgender, a person whose gender identity differs from their assigned sex at birth. Transsexual, an outdated term.
Outdated. We're going to leave it there, though.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
That originated in the medical and psychological communities for people who have permanently changed their gender identity through surgery and hormones. Queer, an umbrella term to be more inclusive of the many identities and variations that make up the LGBTQ plus community. Now,
yeah, that's like the ninth. It's like the Ninth Amendment of our Bill of Rights, where just because we didn't state it here doesn't mean that we don't retain the right. Yeah, we're just covering all our bases.
People like Steven Crowder would use the word queer. And what's his name? Gay Monk or Gay Wonk or whatever his name is from Vox. The one who caused the whole adpocalypse.
Maza.
Carlos Maza. He gets offended when people call him queer, but he calls himself queer. And, you know, to be honest, like in talking to some of my gay friends, they think that queer is a derogatory term.
I grew up thinking queer was a derogatory term.
Yeah.
I know that it's a literary term. You know, it's something that's a little bit odd. Well, that's a queer happening.
Right. Hmm.
But, but everything's got flipped on its head.
In the 80s, they used to use that as a slur towards gay people.
Yeah, now it's VIP. Now you can get VIP access to it.
The next Q really blows my mind. Questioning.
Yeah.
This would be every teenager on God's green earth. The process of exploring and discovering one's own sexual orientation. I'd stop there. Gender identity and or gender expression.
Now, how's my gender going to express itself today?
You got that retainer in, don't you?
I wake up in the morning. I just don't know how my gender's going to express itself that day.
Intersex.
Which is a medical condition.
An individual whose sexual anatomy or chromosomes don't fit with the traditional markers of female and male.
Hermaphrodite.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the only other. If you want to talk about, there are only two genders. There are only two sexes. There is male, female, and then there's intersex.
Yeah.
That's just pretty much what it comes down to.
And just think about how rare an intersex person actually is.
Yes.
Very, very rare. Because if I'm not mistaken, all babies are born like form with a penis. And then it turns into a woman part.
I think it's the other way around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. My bad. Ally.
Hey, can you imagine that? That would suck. Everybody has a nice, well-hung, everybody's well-hung, and they just shrivel up and turn into a woman. I would rather. It's like, damn. What does that say for the micro penis guys? It's just like, man, I had a shot. I had a shot one day. And
You know, when I come into the studio, we'll have this conversation because I don't think it's dark to light worthy. But like, there's a lot of stuff you can say in this area that is really.
You're right.
No. What you're doing is fine. I was about to take it to a level it just really shouldn't go to.
we'll say that for quite frankly.
Yeah, it's safe. It's a safe zone. Ally is A, typically a non-queer person. So queer is an umbrella term. So a non-queer person who supports and advocates for the queer community, an individual within the LGBTQ plus community can be an ally for another member that identifies differently than them.
I saw one person respond to the ally question, okay, and it got 4,300 likes.
What did they say?
At JC Bates says, ally doesn't belong here and you can't change my mind. We shouldn't be applauding people for allowing us to exist. What? Almost 5,000 likes for that insanity? What are you talking about? Allowing you and you say typically an allied person is a non-queer person. Okay, so you're talking about the people who bring you into existence then.
Yeah, you're right.
Allowing
my
you
God,
to exist.
The people who actually procreate so that you could be here in the first place.
Like this JC Bates thinks that he congealed somewhere. He just congealed. He crawled out of the primordial ooze and there he was. He didn't have parents. It's just ridiculous.
Oh, goodness. There's two more. And I wasn't even
allies we can create ourselves. but then, hey, listen, Brave New World. This is why you know everybody gets really excited about, scientists today created a human embryo with three different DNA donors. And they think that nature was only there long enough to get us to this point so that we can Frankenstein ourselves into the 21st century. It's sick. It's also anti-human. It's unbelievable.
It is. And you know, the funny thing, I saw a tweet the other day that was tweeted. It was like a microscopic inside of a Petri dish or something where they had these little teeny tiny little drones inside of, I don't even know how to say this in a child safe way, inside of.
Let me try. What is it? Mute the microphone. Let me know what it is. Let me see if I can come up with something.
I'm gonna text it to you.
All right,
I'll text it to you real quick. Inside of this.
Oh.
This.
But I don't think that you don't have to. You don't have to worry
about
it.
It's very medical, but
it's very medical. You can just say it.
Inside of a man's semen.
Spermies.
And it would go to the sperm and it would like implant itself in there and then guide it to the egg and help it penetrate the egg. And a doctor commented and said, if this guy couldn't make it there on his own, he probably wasn't supposed to.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what? I mean, that's just like there, even with as horrible and I know how as traumatic and depressing it is for both parents when they suffer when they suffer a miscarriage. There was something that was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and even though you're mourning the loss of that pregnancy that you wanted to bring full term, there is that silver lining to say, you know what, if there was something wrong, and then you know, okay, let's just.
There was just
and
something.
And the same thing goes with sperm. Same thing goes with, you know.
That's why all the swimmers aren't as strong.
Yeah. You know, survival of the fittest and evolution, there's a reason for that. There's a reason why certain species lose or gain a tail. There's a reason why, and don't you want that if you're talking about building better, stronger, more bold tomorrows? But now they're even getting down into the microbiology of things and wanting to bring equality to sperm. Sperm equality. They're going to bring drones in. Oh, my God.
I'm going to label the title of this NSFW.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's fine. I'm good with it. It's this is fine. The last, there's an A for asexual, which I didn't even plan on this. This just happened organically. I just want to let everyone know this was like not in my list of topics to talk about, but I like that we're doing it. An individual who generally does not feel sexual desire or attraction to any group of people. It's not the same as celibacy and has many subgroups. Subgroups.
Subgroups of not being interested in sex. And that is immediately brought into under the umbrella of something that is purely about
sex.
Sex and how people go and, you know, express it. So it doesn't make it. Well, you know, like Count Dooku said in Star Wars, everything is Star Wars after all, Tracy. Count Dooku said, twice the pride, double the fall.
I love you. I just want to let you know. The last one. More important was the tone that you said that in. It was the tone. The last one is, oh, and by the way, before we get to the last one, listen, thank you to everybody underneath the comments in my on my YouTube, because I uploaded the last episode straight to YouTube at, like, as it went live. Did you read the comments under that yet?
You told me to, and I did go in there for a couple minutes. It was very nice.
We are so blessed. I can't even put it into words.
Truly are. Great people out there.
Really great people. Thank you to everyone out there who took a moment to tell Frank how valued he is on the show, because he is very valued. Now we'll stop talking about it because he's just going to get stupid.
I needed it.
Well, I hope you're feeling better.
I'm going to feel great after I get a cup of coffee and go to check my P.O. box.
Well, we've got 2 minutes left to talk about pansexuality. How about that?
Oh, that's great.
Listen to this one. This is the most ridiculous one, in my opinion, because it completely contradicts itself. And the rest of this. A person who experiences sexual, romantic, physical, and or spiritual attraction to members of all gender identities, expressions, or gender identities and expressions, not just people who fit into the standard gender binary. They're all people. They're all just people, right? Or are you talking about animals at this point?
Don't know. I just...
Because there's zoo something or other now. And then there's a clip of a TED talk, Frank, where they're trying to make people accept pedophilia as just a condition of men, you know, that they should be loved. And
listen, it's coming. It's coming. And I have this one Tumblr post that I was saving maybe for tonight, but maybe next week. I don't know. I just want this political month to be over, to be honest. And I have this one thread that I love that I came across the other day that is pretty much written, and most of the notes on this are from gay people. And they're looking at all of these pictures that are coming out of the pride parades all over the place.
Scary.
And this first person, the original poster is gay. And he says he puts the word queers into quotations, and then says queers going to, and then pride is also in quotations. And the first one is, the first one is just, I dare to be visible in my transness. It's just three guys that are dressed up, and it's very weird and androgynous. And obviously the person that's posting this is uncomfortable with all this. The second picture is even worse. You have two guys that are dressed in leather that are holding onto leashes with three other men that are dressed in leather with leather dog masks on, and walking behind them is like a small arm. It looks like a small third grade class. There's just kids there with their rainbow flags.
Yeah,
and they look, you know, and there's these men in leather that are walking other men on leashes. And then, of course, there's the furry contingent. And then all the lesbians on the on this feed over here are just like, I'm an actual lesbian, and I'm just staying home and doing my lesbian things. And all of a sudden this is going outside, and this is supposed to be for me. And, you know, everybody's saying, you know, I can't believe that there's actually children there. And why are furries there? All they're saying, you know, if this is about being happy with who you are and that you're like everybody else, then why are they bringing all these kinksters into this? Why is this all about how crazy you can get with your sexual kinks when you're just trying to show us that you go and use the ATM, you go and open up bank accounts, and you're ice cream scoopers and you're public accountants. You're just like everybody else. Why are we bringing kink into this?
It's absolutely insane. It's turned into like the most depraved event. And like Brandon made mention of this too. Like, I used to have so much fun at these parades. I will never go to one again when it's like this. There are naked men walking around with kids. There was like a couple of photos I saw of just like they kind of zoomed in on the poor kids' faces as they're staring at these like naked men with their junk hanging out all over the place. And these parents are bringing their kids to this kind of a thing. It's weird. It's weird.
No, it really needs to be exposed, because it's not right. What's going on? It's not right. You say, oh, that's not what it's all about. And you talk about this as family friendly. It's not. Because, of course, if you say this is about inclusivity and it's about showing that everybody is equal and it's family friendly, at the same time, you can't be exclusive and tell people you have to put clothes on. So once again, they have a trouble with standards. You can't have standards. And it gets to a point where progressivism prevents you from having any sort of societal standards, because even the most fundamental of rules becomes oppressive in the eyes and the mind of these political types. which once again has nothing to do with gay people. This is LGBT incorporated.
Right. Frank, good show today, Frank.
Yep. I felt good. Felt good. And, you know, now I'm ready for a nice sunny weekend after I write tonight's show. But it should be an easy one tonight, I think.
Yeah. Friday is very good. Very good. I'm excited to get on to out to vacation. I'm really excited to go away with my kids and my husband and have some fun.
Well, I'm happy for you guys. You're going to bring out a wiffle bat and some wiffle balls?
No, I'm literally going to be submerged in a pool for like 10 days straight.
You're not even going to throw a frisbee around? Nothing?
No. Mm-mm. Drink pool.
What's your drink of? Let's say you were going to be sentenced to a pool deck for an entire sunny day. Damn. And you only can bring one drink with you that can be served all day. Only one drink. What would it be?
Probably vodka and cranberry.
Okay, so you're not a daiquiri type, pina colada.
I don't like it so sweet.
You know, pina coladas don't. I've had a few that weren't necessarily sweet.
My father-in-law makes an amazing fresh pina colada. Those are the only ones I'll drink. He's Puerto Rican. He uses good stuff, and I don't drink really at all. So I'm gonna probably start the day off with a Bloody Mary.
Mm.
Yeah, because those are so good. Spicy.
I like the idea. I like that.
Spicy.
It reminds me of back in 2008. It's been 11 years since I was at the Bahamas, and I would love to go back. But I just remember sitting on that sand, and it was just the sand was so fine and blistering hot. It was amazing. And these guys would come right up to you, and they would serve you either pina coladas or Bahama Mamas, and they would crack open the coconuts right there, split them right open.
Oh, wow.
Pour them right into the half of the coconut that was opened up. Throw a straw in there, and you were on your way. You'd have to move. It was amazing.
That's amazing.
And then all the fake cigars came. I'm sure some of them were fake, but I had some good ones. The Robenas, all the Cubans. It was good.
That is good.
I smoked so many cigars down there. It was great.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to go back.
One day. Maybe I'll do a – yeah, I would love that. I always say I want to establish a network, which guess what, Tracy?
What?
It was Wednesday night, so it was after our Wednesday edition had already been released on Dark to Light. But Wednesday night I get to the studio, and I didn't notice anything because I guess I don't look up when I walk. But I walked through the front door. I got in, and I started setting up for the night. And about 15 minutes before I went live, my buddy Mike comes to the door, and he shows me a picture that he just took on his phone of a sign that was on our front doors. in the beginning, in the front and the back entrance of our building. And the sign says that starting yesterday, June 20th, 2019, Verizon was wiring the whole building for Fios.
Oh my gosh.
So this means that it doesn't even matter if it takes another couple of weeks. This summer, I am going to be able to tell Optimum Online to shove it. And I'm going to, we're not only going to be able to cut costs, but we're going to be having at least a gigabit upload speed. So
wow.
I hope that all my connection problems are a thing of the very distant past soon.
We were just talking about this the other day. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Good for you. So,
no, it's going to be great. Absolutely great. And then one day down the line, that is going to be a great foundation for whatever kind of a network that is going to need a, it's going to need some managing. It's going to be good.
I'm excited for it too. Big things coming.
Indeed.
You guys have been listening to the Dark Delight podcast with
Stormy Weather Val
and Beans. You guys can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, iTunes, and RadioInfluence.com. See you Monday.
Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.